I'm Jamie Seeker, and this is What It Takes. Each episode, I sit down with real business owners to talk about their journey, the wins, the challenges, and everything in between. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. Today on Business Owners Tell All, we are going to talk about what it takes with someone who brings a powerful and honestly refreshing perspective to how businesses grow. Cassandra Murray is the founder of Unlucky Umbrella. It's a marketing and operations consultancy based out of Columbus, Ohio. But what makes her work stands out is it's not just about leads and processes, it's about people. And with over a decade of experience, Cassandra has worked with businesses to not only streamline operations, but also reduce burnout, empower teams, and close the gap between what a company promises on the outside and how it actually delivers it behind the scenes, which I love. So today we're diving into a side of business that doesn't get talked about enough, how poor operational planning can quietly damage culture, increase turnover, and put unnecessary pressure on the very people that are keeping the company running. So if you're a business owner who's ever found your team overwhelmed by the very success your marketing created, then this one is for you. So welcome, Cassandra, to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
You often talk about aligning marketing and operations. So where does HR fit into that equation? Because HR is, it's your human capital, human resources. It's all about people.
Yeah. So really, it comes down to processes. And I have built a system that I call it like the operations improvement funnel. And it goes into talking about, you know, processes are the number one problems. But a lot of times the way businesses and leadership attack problems within the organization is they go after the individual first. So a lot of times they're like, okay, like this individual, like what are they doing wrong? What's the problem with them? What's the, you know, what is it that they're causing all of these issues down the line? But what I found is about 95% of problems can be resolved when you focus on process first instead of the individual.
100% agree. And I think a red flag, like if you're a business owner and you're listening to this and you're like, ah, I don't know about that, ask yourself this question. If something happens in your operation and your first question is, well, who did this? Then you probably need to reevaluate your perspective and maybe take a look at, hey, am I looking at the process first? Did I set them up for success? Do they have the amount of resources they can have to be successful? Have they had the proper training? What does our system look like? So let's talk a little bit more about that. What are the most common ways you see businesses unintentionally overburden their employees by some of these misaligned operations and what you're saying is process, right?
Yeah. So a lot of times it's just lack of documentation. So especially businesses that are in a growth mode where, you know, they're hiring new people because they have too much bandwidth. A lot of times people are brought on board and kind of like thrown to the sharks and they're like, just figure out your job, you know? And where I see the biggest growth for most of the businesses I work with is just documenting how they do things inside and out. And a lot of this comes from like my own personal experience. When I go through and get something accomplished, that was a really frustrating experience for me. I started to learn that documenting it made it so much easier when 6 months down the line, I needed to do that thing again. I could easily refer to my documentation. And even if it wasn't perfect, it was enough information to cut the time in half or, you know, a third or whatever it was to bring that time down. So I started to implement that mentality in the previous organization I worked for and getting everybody involved in how processes can really impact what I call your quality of life when you're working in a business.
Right. Because it's not just time, right? It's like your mental.
Yes.
Everything, like thinking through how to solve that problem or whatever it is that you're going through. So let's talk about burnout then, because what role do you see broken systems playing in that high turnover or low morale situation that you see in company culture?
Well, it really like comes down to like the employees' frustration in general. And a lot of times you see this a lot, and I've seen this a lot in even on social media when people are talking about starting jobs where they go in and the onboarding process has, you know, zero training. Or, you know, even the leadership doesn't seem to know what they're doing. And then the employee then has this frustration between leadership and trying to do their job. And what I feel is like a lot of people at the end of the day, they just want to be good at what they do. They want to do a good job. People want to be praised for the things that they get right. And I think setting employees up for a very positive experience of learning how to do their job well helps them, one, like you're saying, it prevents burnout because they're not stressed day to day or, you know, barely getting the things done that they need to get done. They become more efficient with like processes and good training. And at the end of the day, that really improves that. And again, I'm going to say it, quality of life in people's mentality. The previous company I worked for was in manufacturing. And our normal turnover in that industry was around 6 months. And on average, our employees stayed anywhere from 3 to 5 years. And normally when they would move on, it was because we just weren't growing fast enough for them to land in like management positions. So they would move on into management roles in other companies within the industry.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And when you were talking about documenting the process when you kind of had a difficult scenario the first time, so then the next time it was easier to do, saving time, energy, that kind of stuff, I was thinking of, it's like using, that's your own lever. And so I know that you've talked about that too, but I was like envisioning that as you were talking. I'm like, you've mentioned that training is kind of like that growth lever as well. Can you share how maybe you've done internal training or you've helped implement that somewhere that can actually protect culture during that kind of growth? Because we'll circle back to not growing fast enough, because I think that's another important thing. But I just kind of first want to cover, like, if your systems aren't growing as fast as you are and you're leaving your people behind.
Yeah. So we actually had a program at my previous company that I like spearheaded. I called it Training for Trainers. And what it was prepping people who were high performers that were looking for a way to grow into a leadership position, teaching them how to be effective trainers so that then they can create more high performers underneath them, essentially. And a lot of the training that I've seen, it's interesting when you watch other people train. So I was put in a position to watch other people and how they taught. And what I learned is there's this like theory out there that people are like visual learners or kinetic, you know, they need to touch, tactile learners, or, you know, they need to hear things. But what I found is people need all three. So like the best type of training is a demonstration with your trainee driving the bus, essentially. So a lot of times, like I would start off with a demo because we're in manufacturing. So we would do a demo just for safety. So the expert would demo the machine first and you would shadow. And then from there, you were hands on, you know, touching the equipment or touching the program. I see a lot of companies fall into this like webinar style training where you have to sit down for like 3 or 4 hours just watching videos of a program you're supposed to be working with, and you never actually get access until you finish that training. And it's so ineffective because people really need to like be hands-on with their learning. So I think the biggest pitfall most companies fall into is not giving people that hands-on experience when they're teaching them about either their job, their program, you know, whatever that may be.
And we think about when we're learning in school and we all learned, you know, sure, the webinars might be great for visual learners and or even auditory learners because they're listening to somebody, you know, tell. But like you said, there's all different types of learning and it doesn't necessarily stick. So you've worked with companies to implement those types of frameworks like the operations improvement funnel. I love that. How does that tie into employee success and support? Because you obviously have statistics that show that, hey, on average, our employees are staying longer, you know, 3 to 5 years as opposed to 6 months. And we've worked with many manufacturing companies as well. And I think that's probably about right. It is a revolving door. We always constantly had in that industry, we usually would always have job postings just constantly on and we never really took them off so that we would have, you know, just access to applicants and people who were looking, and they always were coming in and out. So talk to me about those systems and how you kind of elongated that life cycle, right, of that employee turnover?
Yeah. So we really focused on, because we focus on process, it created an environment where people didn't feel defensive when a mistake was made. 9 times out of 10 is when something goes wrong and the first thing you say is, okay, like, what does the process look like? People start to go, oh, okay, like, I don't need to defend myself. Instead of going, oh, what did you do wrong, right? It's assuming that the employee followed the process to the T, right? And starting with the process first. And then once we figure out, maybe there are things that need to change about the process. A lot of times processes can be too long, so people don't even read them because they're so cumbersome to learn. Or processes can be not documented or under-documented. So a lot of times we may find, you were just missing this step that wasn't documented. Let's add that to the documentation. And then it also turns into a learning experience for those employees too. I feel like you learn so much more when you make a mistake versus when you always do everything right all the time. Those mistakes kind of are ingrained in you. So people were engaged. So employees were very engaged in fixing the process versus fixing people. And one of the things I would say when I would onboard people at like the previous company is I would say, we have problems. We don't have people problems here. And it was a way to get people to start to shift and understand the culture that we were trying to build there.
I absolutely love that. And I think for those business owners that are like, oh, like, you know, you're still not really convinced at that, I will say, and you can weigh in on this too, if you start with process and look internally first and set the tone, it does things culturally that you just, it's from a measuring standpoint, it does turn, you see people stay longer, work, you're more productive, they're more effective at their job, they're more bought in, all the things that you were saying. Also, if there are really, truly performance issues, those actually come out much faster as well, because, you know, it's a lot easier to see it from a objective standpoint, and they kind of can self-assess. That's what I've seen as well, is that they're self-assessing, yeah, like it is a performance issue. And not everybody is going to, you know, be that way, but you did mention something about it was about the learning and being engaged in that. And I think that when you're in a safe environment that is promoting, you know, learning and process and all that kind of stuff, it does stay ingrained in you. And it is more of a positive experience instead of not wanting to look at it, oh, I made a mistake, I'm not, you know, I don't want to deal with it. And so that's good. So what are a few HR or like team metrics that business owners should be tracking, but often don't look at all?
I think that obviously turnover is probably your biggest, because that's going to be your biggest red flag if something's not right. Because even like in manufacturing, when I'm saying we had people from 3 to 5 years, these weren't people in like management roles. These are people in entry level positions that stuck around for that long period of time. Other metrics, I feel like that's a little bit hard to point out. It's more about a conversation and not necessarily about metrics when it comes to people and results, right? Are your people executing and getting the performance that you're expecting, or are they not? And then if they're not, then that's the conversation that you need to have, right? So if you see any type of failure, that's when you start to go down that, okay, what's the process? What is the expectation? And then if the process is fine and there's nothing to change about the process, which is rare, but can happen, then you move on to training. And it goes, okay, did we train this person enough on the process? Because a lot of times you haven't, right? As a lot of times you show somebody something once, and that's not enough for them to have the opportunity to ask the questions that they need to ask. Specifically in manufacturing, it was an open conversation about certain metrics that we did track. So we tracked time. How long did it take you to complete a task? And it wasn't always about, we were really upfront with people. We said, don't lie, because if you lie, and you say you did this really fast, we're going to adjust our goalpost to that speed, right? But also don't lie in the other direction, because if you go really slow, we're going to be coming in and be like, what's wrong, right? Why is it taking you, you know, three times the amount of time that we believe it should take to complete this task? So the only metrics we really ever tracked was time, but it was still an open conversation with the employees. And we told the employees, we said, you know, if you get a certain deadline or time that you feel is wrong, tell us. Because we could have made an assumption that we weren't factoring in, and you are the experts in a weird way. Even as an entry-level person, as you learn, you know, your job and the equipment or the programs that you use, you end up knowing more than your leadership about how to function. And again, it's even if there are metrics that you're tracking, it's important to keep them as an open conversation and never really set anything too like in stone, essentially, especially with like processes and metrics, because things change all the time within a business. And being more flexible is only going to make you better for not only your employees, but your customers too.
Yeah, that's great. I think having guidelines and clear expectations with, you know, giving them some autonomy and some, you know, but a framework is important is what I'm hearing. You've got to give a framework and but some flexibility to say, okay, here are some benchmarks and here are some things to measure against your performance so that you know if you're doing a good job, and we can communicate how to, you know, kind of adjust in order to get to where everybody wants. So yeah. What's a lesson that you learned maybe the hard way about leadership or like team management or even in internal operations, since we're talking a lot about that?
Yeah, I would say that some employees can be excellent performers and excellent contributors, but can be harmful to the team as a collective. Yeah. So that is, I've had a lot of experiences and I've changed hiring practices because of that. So we, you know, you always hear about like personality hires and stuff like that, but we actually changed the interview questions to understand, how does this person work in a team environment? Because there can be individual contributors that are great at their jobs, but the way that they interact with other people is harmful for your goals as a collective.
Yeah, and they might be great for another company, but it doesn't fit in with your culture because of their style or, like you said, their personality. And some people, you're right, are just, you know, not the right fit or toxic people that don't handle things in a very healthy manner. There's certainly those. But I think the conversation is much more around that, you know, yes, you do come across the not the right fit, different personality styles, things like that. But for the most part, in these environments where we're creating, you know, setting them up for success with clear expectations and processes to follow that are clear, they've been trained on them, they have all the resources they need to be successful. And then you really just guide by conversations. I think that's wonderful. So I want to talk, though, before we wrap up and I get to our final question that I ask everyone, is just about your name and how you came across like the Unlucky Umbrella Studio and all of that stuff. So let's start there. How did you get into this, and how did you name your company Unlucky Umbrella Studio?
Yeah, so the name actually comes from way back in my college years. I actually have a creative background. My degree is in illustration and graphic design, and you're supposed to kind of create a self-brand from that. And my senior year was a very unlucky year for me. I had a lot of bad things happen to me all at once outside of my control. So the branding that I had come up with was like this inside out umbrella. And my teacher at the time was like, you know, this is really weird. Most people do like their initials or their name. Like, what does this umbrella have to do with you at all? And I mentioned to her that I'm always prepared, but unexpected things happen. So I like to embrace the unexpected. So, you know, it's kind of stayed with me over the years. And I started the business after I left my previous company because I saw a need for this operations marketing collaboration for businesses. And the way I pitch myself is I'm not lucky. Everything's based off of strategy. So it's marketing based off of strategy, not luck, or operations based off of strategy, not luck, which I think, you know, sometimes a lot of businesses operate on luck alone. And sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, we do have to get lucky sometimes as business owners, right? And some more than others. But those that stand the test of time are really putting in good framework and practices. So before we wrap, let's talk a little bit about that. We always ask our guests one final question. So in your words, what does it take to be a business owner and sit in that seat and do what you do?
Being open-minded, I think. I think being open to different types of experiences and different perspectives, especially when I started to be more open to listening to everybody, regardless of their background, there were a lot of conversations that probably would have never happened in the first place if I wasn't open-minded, but some that even completely, what I would say, rewired my brain as a leader. And they come from sometimes the most unexpected places. So be open, be flexible. And that makes a huge difference as a leader and a business owner.
Yeah, that's really good. Well, Cassandra, thank you so much for sharing your insights, especially reminding us that systems don't just serve customers, they serve actual people. So if people wanted to find you and learn a little bit more about your company or anything like that, where can they go to get access to that?
Yeah, they can find us on luckyumbrella.com, and then you can find all of our social media links on our website as well.
Okay, great. And that's a wrap on another episode of Business Owners Tell All as we talk about what it takes. And if you love this conversation, please make sure to follow and share, especially with anyone you know who's building a business, wants to grow without grinding their people down. And thanks again, Cassandra, and we will catch up with you next time.
Yeah, thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Seeker Solution. Are you a business owner feeling overwhelmed? We can help. Head over to seekersolution.com to schedule a call today. Would you or someone you know like to be featured on this podcast? Our applications are now open. Apply today at seekersolution.com and click on the podcast link to get started.